I'm happy today. That wasn't long ago. I found some old films that we put on video. I mean old. This is like early 50s family films. In fact, I was only in a few of them because I was so small. But I saw both my brothers, and it was Easter. And they had their baskets, and they had their Easter eggs and things like that. And I remember that when I got older. And there were some really good times. Our family liked to celebrate the coming of spring. It was a lot of good memories. But now I'm a Christian now, and I know that Easter is really about the resurrection of Christ. How do you celebrate that? Well, today we've been celebrating that. You know, we're in the midst of looking at the names of Christ, and I think, well, what name would be appropriate for such an occasion? Well, I chose a wonderful text from Philippians. Philippians has got a lot of them, and this is a very famous text. Let me read it for you. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name that is above every other name, above your name, above my name, above every family member's name, above the name of every world leader or celebrity, above the name of every historical figure or religious leader. The name that's above every name, that is a name in itself. And that's the name we look at today. Why would God give Jesus that name, the name above any other? The reasons are laid out in this, which is one of the richest texts in the scriptures. There are four reasons, and together they frame the essentials of the gospel. First is who Jesus is. Jesus got this name because of who he is. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, being made in human likeness. Jesus was God becoming a human being without ceasing to be God. The second person of the Trinity added to his divine nature a human one. This is crucial. This is why he's given such a great name, because only he could reconcile God and man. God and mankind are separated completely by our sin, hopelessly alienated. Only a God-man could become a mediator to reconcile us with one another. A man can't become God, but God can take on the attributes of a man and accomplish that task. And that's who Jesus was. Second, what Jesus did, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. As we remembered on Good Friday, Jesus willingly died for his friends. Not simply, however, a gesture of friendship. He voluntarily took the place of sinful people and received their judgment from God. In him, God can forgive in a manner that does not compromise his integrity. That's why he can bring us to the Father. Third, what Jesus is doing. God exalted him to the highest place. Today we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, and he's alive, literally, and he's in heaven. He's directing the expansion of his kingdom throughout the world. And this is why Jesus, and only him, can reconcile God and mankind. He's got the divine authority to call people to follow him, to call from death to life. He's got the power to back that up. And finally, what Jesus will do. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that will happen. When Jesus is finished with his task in building his church, he will come again. And everyone is going to acknowledge his authority whether they want to or not. And that's why only he can reconcile us. He's the one who's going to finish the work. This summarizes the whole gospel. Who Jesus is, what he did, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. You put all of that together, and that is why God gave him the name which is above every name. God has given Jesus a name above all others. But on Easter Day, we've got to ask, what would it be like if we did that? If we did that. And that's exactly what Paul was exploring earlier in this text. And to see how he got to his conclusion, all we have to do is think for a minute about this incredible name, the name that's above, above every other name. Since Paul was talking about bowing before one name, he's thinking about competing authorities, competing relationships that are represented by names. And you can easily imagine each name trying to get higher than the others. It made me think of that old kids game, you know, King of the Hill. You ever played King of the Hill? It's not complicated, right? Everybody tries to stand on top of everybody else by any means possible. So let's just picture Paul's idea of a King of the Hill game among names. This mountain represents your soul, or my soul. And what I want to do is I want to put the names of all the people and relationships and authorities in my life on the slope someplace. But since this isn't just about me, I'm not going to use proper names. I'm going to use generic ones, and you fill it in. For example, there's my spouse. That's Mickey. But you fill in the name, if you're married, of your spouse. And do that with your boss and your children, your parents and teachers, various entertainment and political celebrities that influence you, your church leaders, government officials, your neighbors, that's a lot of names, your peer group, friends who influence you the most. And this is fun. You might want to play with this and add some names to it later on. The top of the hill of my soul is, of course, reserved for God. You know, several weeks ago, we studied how creation was designed for us to rule the earth and for God to rule us. The top of our soul is where God should be, keeping my whole life stable and giving me a balanced identity among all the different relationships that he's created me to have. All the fancy ways you could describe sin can be simply pictured by this: God rejected from the top of my soul. That's sin. There it is, that emptiness. You know, this was the realization that really cemented my own conversion. I think I had an easier time understanding who Jesus is than I did understanding my own sin. When I realized what it means to be a sinner, everything else kind of fell into place for me. Sin is not just about gross and antisocial behavior. Sin is nothing less than rejecting God's authority in my life. If there is a creator and I'm his creation, that is reprehensible. But look at what's happened. Nature abhors a vacuum. Sin has turned my life from being something balanced into a continuous long game of King of the Hill, in which all the names and all the influences of my life try to climb to the top. It's a game I can't stop. I can't call a timeout. The struggle just keeps on coming. And whatever name claws its way to the top becomes my God for that moment. Sometimes my boss gets to the top. When he dominates my soul, he owns me. He's my God. And he'll squash my spouse, my church, everything else. My boss runs my life. That's not healthy. Sometimes my spouse gets to the top. And when my spouse dominates my soul, he or she owns me, squashes my boss and my church and everything. That's pretty unhealthy too. And you got the same tyranny, whether it's a parent on top, think of a parent dominating an adult child, or a child who runs my life, or the government becoming my God and claiming unlimited authority of who I am and what I can do, or my church turning me into a cultist, or my peer group telling me how to act, how to dress, how to think. And to make it worse, they don't take turns. They all come at me at once. All the time. And it's not that they just want a piece of me. They each want all of me. All the time. It's a mess. It's a free-for-all. It doesn't take long. You ever see kids playing King of the Hill? It doesn't take long for my identity to become hopelessly obliterated, confused. I don't know who I am anymore. My soul taken over again and again by different names, the balance of my relationships that make me shifting all the time. For all the reasons Paul outlined, God gave Jesus the name which is above every other name. God did that. But what would it be like if we did that? What would it mean if we allowed Jesus' name to rise to the top and stay there? What would it mean? You know, the first thing it would mean is that my life would instantly become more stable. Now, the King of the Hill business doesn't stop. I'm stuck with that until all sin is healed. But if I focus every day, maybe many times a day, to recognize Jesus' name as above all the other names, then I begin to experience some peace. Jesus has essentially retaken, you see, the position belonging to God. And it's not just my weakened strength that keeps him there. As long as I recognize his name is the name above all, he exercises his power to stay on top. And my life begins to regain some stability. And that's just the beginning. Because then my life begins to regain a little balance. Because you see, when any other name is at the top of my soul, in fact, I would say when any name is at the top of my soul, it's a jealous God. God is a jealous God. Any God's a jealous God. That's the nature of what it means to be God. What controls my life wants to control it all. That's the nature of God. It's the nature of every idol that we put up there to replace him. Anything in the position of God tends to push all the other commitments and relationships off the hill. Every name on the list does that, except one, except Jesus. His is a profoundly different name. Now, he's a jealous God too. He wants control, but the way he exercises it is different. It is unique from all the others. Jesus is unlike any other King of the Hill because he actually is the true God who belongs there in the first place. And he really doesn't need anything that I can give him because he really is God. You sense the difference immediately. You begin to regain balance. He's a king who washes feet. He said, I didn't come to be served. I don't need to be served. I came to serve. If I'm on top of your soul, I don't want you to wash my feet like all the others. I want you to wash their feet. All of them, all those other names. I want you to serve me by serving them. Jesus does not lord it over me. He exercises lordship through me. The way you exalt me is to be like me. Serve the others. With Jesus on top, my soul begins to find some balance. Because look, if he controls my soul, then my boss can't climb up and control me. If he controls my soul, the government can't control my soul. My spouse can never own me. With Jesus at the top, my soul is free from the tyranny of all those other names. All I got to do is focus on honoring one name, Jesus. The one who loves me more than I can ever love myself. He's the one who owns me. And what's he going to do? How is he going to have me serve him? Unlike all the other names, I don't serve him directly at all. He sends me out to serve all those other names in my life, my family, my business, my church, my neighbors, whoever they are. He will send me out to serve everyone my life can touch. But none of them will ever own me again. None of them will ever oppress my spirit and try to throw all the other names off the cliff. As long as Jesus is on top, no one else can be. And as the balance of life returns, I've got the freedom to say no to any other name whenever Jesus reminds me of other responsibilities. And I have the freedom to say yes to all the other names without signing my life away to an idol. And the me that God originally created begins to reemerge. What's the result of that freedom? We discover how powerfully we can bring good to others. As God is restored to first place through Jesus, we stop trying to control each other. As my real identity returns, I can actually put somebody else first and not lose who I am in the process. If he's at the top, Jesus won't even allow me to tyrannize myself. He won't let me become a slave to my own whims or a slave to the things that just make me feel good. Can you imagine? Can you imagine people who really believe this getting together to practice it in a group? Practicing the freedom of giving ourselves to each other voluntarily, sacrificially, while never being owned by anybody but him. Taking care of each other when we're sick. Helping us raise each other's children, care for each other's aged. Helping through hard times, rejoicing in good times. You know, there actually is a group that's seriously devoted to this kind of thing. It's a radical movement. There are cells in America and in a number of other countries. It's called the Church. The idea behind the movement is to gather people who share the mind, the love, the spirit, and the purpose of Jesus Christ, with the risen Christ himself as our leader. Now, you know, there's always some process to follow to join a church, but joining Christ's church is not about the process. It's about linking up with people who agree with what God did. God gave Jesus the name above all names, and so have they. You know, a handful of such people once turned the world upside down. Today, we in the brick-and-mortar churches like ours, most of us, we're still thinking about it. We believe we're saved because Jesus saves sinners, not perfected saints. Praise God. But giving him the name that's above every name? Do I really want to give my soul over to someone else? Wait a minute, what am I saying? I do that all the time. I allow other names to rule me all the time. Every week is another round of King of the Hill. Who's going to tell me who I am this week? Who's my God today? You know what I think? I think Easter can be what we want it to be. A happy, lights, holiday that celebrates spring, of course, sure. But it can also be the opportunity to end the inner battle that's ripping me apart, as it rips everybody apart. Friend, you were designed to give the wonderful gifts God gave to you freely to everyone in your life. You weren't designed to have to defend yourself against everyone and everything, to be sold from one name to another, your service demanded by so many masters you forget who you are. We were never designed to be our own masters, and we were never designed to be masters over each other. God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him a name above every other name. This Easter day, you and I can do the same. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, on Easter Sunday, our imaginations run wild, trying to picture what it was like to see an empty tomb and then to see the one who overcame death by rising from it. We imagine the implications slowly sinking into those folks in the pages of the New Testament as those same implications sink into us. Wow! This changes everything. Lord, I suppose there are many ways to imagine what Christ's resurrection can mean to our faith. Opening a door to a knock. Following him through a gate. Today, by your grace, we see his name climbing a hill, not the hill of Calvary where he earned his glory, but the hill which is our own soul. With increasing anticipation and hope, we see him climbing up past the names of every other person we know, every idol that we're used to worshiping, until it reaches the top. There he is, the one who has conquered death, has conquered me. Jesus has conquered me, and the only blood shed in the battle for my soul was his. Father, we praise you for what you did. Jesus is alive, and his name is above all other names. Amen.